Alright, welcome members. Adam plugging in here on Monday the 30th of May. Very cold, stormy and windy here in Sydney, Australia. I hope you guys are fine. Plugging in tonight for the Night Watch podcast to cover all the latest. So I hope you guys are doing fine wherever you are. And as always, thank you so much for continuing support and for checking out the website and being on there and just being active. Great to have everybody on deck, and it's great to be here with you guys. Everything's up on the website, crazfiles.com. Enjoy. Of course, contact me anytime through the website about anything. Send me any links or anything like that. We're over on Telegram. All the links are up there on the website for social media and everything. Hope you guys are enjoying the website and the podcast and everything going up as we move through into 2022. Boy, time is flying, isn't it? Can't keep up with things. And I've got so much to cover, there's no way I'm going to get through it all. So there won't be any order to the podcast tonight, I tell you. I'm just going to go over what I can, because I've got stuff saved and I've been emailing myself these articles that came out over the last couple of days. So I'll just go over those. Boy, what happened to global warming, folks? Where'd global warming go? crikeys. It's about to snow. You know, probably barely a couple of hours away from me. We're about to get hit with an Antarctic blast. It's pretty bloody cold here, I've got to tell you. And where are the Zali Stegel voters and the Teal Independent Global Warming Nutjob voters? Where are they all now? They voted for them in the last election to fight climate change. Well, it's bloody freezing. And we're about to get hit with freezing weather, especially heading up to this coming weekend. It's going to be absolutely freezing all across Australia, even as far north as Queensland. This blast is going to hit. it's crazy, isn't it? Well, I've sent myself a bunch of stuff as more comes in, and so many emails coming through from just friends or family, and also stuff up on Telegram and, you know, Messenger, and just people posting things and recommending things, and also in the Kraz Files website in the members area in the chat. I always encourage the members to get in there in the Kraz Files chat area. We set that up, so there is a members area for the members. Everything is in there for you guys to enjoy, and there's a chat room in there, so you can log in using some social media platforms, or you can just log in as a guest user with whatever name you want, and leave some articles up, links, YouTube videos, whatever it may be, to get that information out and sharing. And or you can just check in there and have a look at all the great info and links going up that folks, some of the members are putting in there. It's really cool. Lots of really important and critical info at these times. Just having a look, sorry folks, at what I may have sent myself. There's dozens. And I'm doing stuff in the days, just in little breaks. I'll go and have a look, and I think, oh, that's interesting, and most of it does not even make it up on the website. It's crazy. This one's a paid article for the Telegraph astrazeneca.co.uk. And the title of the article is AstraZeneca Vaccine May Increase Risk of Serious Neurological Conditions. Scientists believe the jab's Trojan horse delivery system could be causing a rise in Guillain-Barré syndrome cases. The AstraZeneca vaccine may increase the risk of serious neurological condition. Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS, with the jab's Trojan horse delivery system possibly to blame. The scientists believe in a discovery which may apply to similar vaccines. Amazing, isn't it? They're actually telling you in the Telegraph UK, they're talking about serious neurological conditions, and they're talking about Trojan horse type delivery systems within these jabs. It's unbelievable. And I did send myself that, but you have to be a member to get access to that article. I'll have a look. I'll come back soon. I'll just have a look at my reading list. It's probably quite a bit of technology news, especially coming out of the World Economic Forum. I covered these wankers the other night, talking a lot about facial recognition and surveillance and everything. So I saved a bunch of just articles, so I'll just quickly go through, you know, what I have. One from the Tribune here, from just a couple of days ago. Some noise in the background there might be picking up. World Economic Forum smartphones will be in your body by 2030. According to Nokia's CEO, Pekka Lundmark, and there's a video, the smartphone will not be the most common connectivity interface by 2030. Instead, smartphones will likely be implanted right into your body by then. This is what I've been saying for years on the podcast. Now, I've been saying this for ages, that the smartphones, the physical smartphone that people are carrying, how they've got smaller and smaller and more compact. You know, some are fairly big, but I mean they've got so thin and slick and everything. They're the training tool till eventually it will end up in your body somewhere, you know, and you won't be carrying around that physical object anymore. This really is like the training wheels on a kid's bicycle, you know, and then when you take them off, it really is. So this physical shiny slick phones with the glass backs and how they make them feel when they're in your hands and everything, and they're just getting thinner and smaller and just massive technology in them. They're going to, at one point, disappear into your body somewhere where you just won't need to physically carry them around anymore. I've said this for ages, so this is what they're talking about now. Implanting them in the body. And this week, during the panel appearance at the 2022 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Lundmark said, by then 2030, definitely the smartphone, as we know it today, will not anymore be the most common interface. Many of these things will be built directly into our bodies. However, before smartphones are implanted directly into the body, Lundmark believes people will be transitioning away from smartphones and towards face wearables like glasses. I heard about this years ago. I haven't seen it yet, but that said, the world is unlikely to be dominated by smartphones, glasses, or other devices until 6G becomes commonplace, which is expected to hit the commercial market by around 2030. Still, only 30% of the world has been digitized. For the other 70%, to come online, much infrastructural work will need to be done. For those wondering, the exact definition for 6G is currently unclear, as the world is still coming to grips with 5G, a controversial technology we don't yet know the negative ramifications for, not the full ones anyway. Intelligent knowledge systems will be combined with robust computation capabilities to make humans endlessly more efficient and redefine how we live, work, and take care of the planet. Even though there is still a lot of innovation in 5G and the 5G advanced release of new standards, Nokia Bell Labs have already begun to research work on 6G. The big question on many people's minds, however, is should we be going down the transhumanist direction of integrating technology directly into the body? If so, where does that stop? Will it change what it means to be human? Have we considered the potential downside of this? And as I said, there's a video from Davos there. So it's transhuman, and we can see the path we're going down here. Really is incredible, and where they're taking us. Superhumans, but no souls perhaps anymore, you know. I look at sports and I get that feeling, you know. All these young sports guys in Australia playing all these high-impact, fast sporting events out there, you know, early 20s, loaded up with these jabs. Some of them are going down, some are not. You know, I get that feeling that in the future you're going to see these kinds of events where they're going to be like superhuman or something when all this technology takes and this agenda is in full swing. And most people have died off, I guess. Far out. Moving on with technology news from the Insider, businessinsider.com. Facial recognition is on the rise, but artificial intelligence is already being trained to recognize humans in new ways, including gait detection and heartbeat sensors. That's G-A-I-T. Facial recognition has made headlines this year for the rapid rise in companies and government agencies using it for tracking and surveillance. But it's not only AI-driven surveillance technology. Emerging technologies can recognize humans and track people's locations by detecting their heartbeat, walking gait, and even microbial traces left behind by skin cells or sweat. More far-flung ideas formulated by researchers include a device to detect emotions using radio waves and a biometric car seat with butt detection software. While some of the technologies have only surfaced in academic research, others are already being implemented by global military powers like the US and China. So a nerd's wet dream. Private companies and government agencies trying to track people's movements. Technology is making the task increasingly easy. Facial recognition and analysis are becoming increasingly popular surveillance tools. The technology was rolled out in airports across the world this summer as a tool for verifying flyers' identity and is widely used by police departments for tracking suspected criminals. We're all criminals now, folks. I've got news for you. We're all criminals. Privacy-minded activists and lawmakers are now hitting back at facial recognition. The technology has been banned for law enforcement purposes across California, and a similar bill is being weighed in Massachusetts. Meanwhile, artists and researchers have begun to develop clothes designed to thwart algorithms that detect human faces. But emerging technology presents alternate means of identifying and tracking humans beyond facial recognition. These methods, also driven by artificial intelligence, detect the presence of humans using devices ranging from lasers to Wi-Fi networks. The vast range of biometric data that technology can register makes regulation difficult. Meanwhile, some of the emerging surveillance technology is already being embraced by military powers like the US and China. Here's a rundown of emerging technology that can detect humans and track their location. So gait recognition identifies humans in video footage by detecting their stride, and the software is already being used by the Chinese government to monitor people. Gait recognition analyzes how people move as they walk, including stride length and the angle of their arms. Waitrix, a Chinese company that has developed a version of the software being piloted by Chinese police, claims it's 94% accurate. The Pentagon is piloting gait recognition tech that identifies people's walk based on the movements of their smartphone. That's going to be easy, and I've said that so many times, like everybody's walking around with their smartphone, which means they are basically moving targets. And they're developing all this technology around that. Your smartphone, when you're walking around the streets with it and you're out with it and you're touching it all the time and it's in your pockets and you're picking it up and you're using it, and you are a moving target straight out of some bloody movie. In a different iteration of gait recognition, the Pentagon is reportedly testing software that would enable a smartphone to identify who's carrying it based on their walking pattern. According to the Washington Post, the technology could theoretically be used to quickly deactivate government agents' smartphones if they are stolen. Welcome to Jason Bourne. You know those movies? The Bourne Identity and that? It's kind of like, is that what we're dealing with? A bunch of nerdy fucking sociopathic wankers in some bunker with like hundreds of screens around, just with that music, you know, watch, you know, like tracking everything we're doing. It's insane. Don't these people have anything better to do? You know what I mean? So for us to survive in this new global Great Reset system, it's time to shake off this technology and these phones. Go back to organics. Go back to nature. Go back. Step back. Do not step forward into this system. Make it hard on them, you know. And, you know, there are ways. There are ways. There are a lot of ways as it becomes harder, you know. But definitely to move away from big cities, you know. This is a track and trace system, and COVID was the big Trojan horse in that way to get this through, you know, because as we've always said, you know, without the fake COVID-19 virus, how the hell would they be even looking at all of this? You know, so many privacy advocacy groups and organizations and people get spooked about this. But when there's a fake virus, people will give up everything and we will be catapulted into this kind of technology nightmare, because people were scared of a virus that isn't there. But it just, it really is incredible. So, you know, that's what COVID was always about. The technology. And there's so much strong evidence in Australia and so many times and so much information coming through, especially from Melbourne and places when we were all under lockdown and there was no way out of this country or into this country. We were Alcatraz, Australia. I mean, we were locked down. There was no flights. There was no travel. The whole country was locked down at one period. I mean, it was a rolling blackout situation of lockdowns. And we had hundreds of flights coming from mainland China into Australia and back and forth. People were putting it up all the time, and we heard that they were just carrying, you know, plane loads of this AI tech that's being implemented into this country, which basically means that we're owned and controlled and spied on by China. But they fool us, you see, with this whole relationship issue that we have this bad relationship with China when they own our asses. See? That's the PSYOP. That's their bullshit game to get you distracted. Oh, Australia's not friends with China, you know. We don't have a good relationship. When fucking have a look at this then. Because every single thing that I'm reading tonight goes back to Chinese technology and what they're doing, which really just makes China the model of what they want the planet to look like. Yeah, okay, so government agents and smartphones and stealing government agent smartphones like out of a Born Identity movement. Well, I mean, really? Who's got the time to go and steal government agent smartphones? Do you? I don't. I'm too busy looking after my child and a busy day working and trying to survive. I don't go out, you know, with a 50s hat on and a overcoat and dark sunglasses looking for, you know, government agents to steal their phones out of their pockets, you know what I mean? Researchers are also developing gait recognition tech that could identify pedestrians using sensors in the floor. Researchers at the University of Manchester developed software that can use floor-only sensor data to identify specific people based on the rhythm of their walk without the aid of visuals. Isn't it interesting to see that all these so-called experts and brainiacs are going into or out of universities and into think tank corporations to basically do this? I mean, can't they come up with better things to do to better humanity? You know, to feed people, clothe people, to give people fresh water, to clean the environment around, you know, like to do good things, to use free energy, to use this to run technology that would benefit mankind. Why aren't they doing that? No, they're not. They're these fucking nerdy wankers who got pumped out of fucking Rockefeller universities into think tank corporations are working on putting software that injects sensors into floors so they can identify certain people based on the rhythm of their walking patterns. I mean, really? This is what you're putting your brains to? This is what you were put on earth to do. What a bunch of fucking total assholes these people are. You know what I mean? It's like they're constantly thinking of evil things to control humanity. It's unbelievable. They're evil. The Pentagon has commissioned a laser that can identify people by their heartbeat from 200 yards away. The device known as the Jetson. Remember the Jetsons cartoon? Programming uses laser vibrometry to detect surface movement generated by a person's heartbeat, according to the MIT Technology Review. The laser works through clothes and can match heartbeats to a database of cardiac signatures to identify individuals. Researchers developed a technique to turn home Wi-Fi devices like Amazon Echo and Google Nest into adversarial motion sensors. In a paper entitled ET2 Alexa, researchers from the University of Chicago and University of California at Santa Barbara wrote that hackers can easily use Wi-Fi devices in people's homes to detect when humans are moving around based on Wi-Fi interference. The findings mean Wi-Fi can be used as a surveillance tool to detect whether someone is physically located inside a specific structure. However, the detection technology is not capable of distinguishing between different humans or even between humans and large animals. That doesn't matter. Put a bullet in their head. An MIT researcher suggests that Wi-Fi signals could be combined with heartbeat detection and AI to remotely track people's emotions. The technology is still mostly theoretical, but I guess it's a nerd's wet dream. but an MIT researcher developed a concept for artificial intelligence software that can track users' motions and heart rate using wireless sensors and predict their emotional state accordingly. I guess if you're not liking your job or not liking the government, or you're thinking about things that the government doesn't approve of, then this will ultimately affect your grand social credit system scores. I've mentioned it before, the movie, go and watch it, it's an old movie, it may be 80s, but it could be early 90s, called Fortress, where this guy gets taken to a futuristic prison, and they have to put these devices in there that sit in their stomachs, and if you don't do the right thing in the prison, they get intestinated. It's like an internal taser of the intestine area, and you go down in pain. And the warden of the prison can read their minds on this device. And, you know, so this guys are having sex dreams, they intestinate them. You know, if they're not thinking the right thing, it really is, yeah, kind of like Orwell's 1984 as well. Where are we here? God. Algorithms could track people using the 36 million microbial cells per hour that each human emits. Algorithms could potentially be turned towards tracking microbial cells, bacteria that lives inside our bodies that people constantly emit, according to Wired. What a pipe dream. A 2015 study found that the microbial cells can be effectively used to identify specific individuals with up to 80% confidence. Scientists developed a prototype for a biometric car seat capable of butt recognition. Tokyo-based engineers developed a car seat that recognizes the shape of users' asses and their weight, according to Wired. The technology is theoretically meant to prevent car theft, but has not yet hit the market. However, it illustrates the sheer range of biometric data that could potentially be gorged by artificial intelligence. God, remember those crazy magazines and stuff when you were little? Those science magazines and experiments you could do and things like that? Like, there was all these shows on TV and magazines and things when you were growing up that predicted the future and these crazy zany things. You know, like those kind of crazy magazines or what are they like? They're like things people get in the mail, especially around towards Christmas time. And you open it up and there's all these zany, crazy gadgets that you can buy to make your life easier. And it's like, who the hell is thinking up this stuff? You know what I mean? Have you seen those? They're like booklets. And it's like those infomercial stuffs, you know, infomercial ads and things like that, and magazines that come out where there's all these crazy, zany, weird products that you can buy for your home and to do things, you know. It's like that, but so technical with what they're doing. So it's this kind of crazy mind these people have, this wacky, crazy scientist sort of idea that you saw in horror and comedies and things like that. It's amazing. But this seems to be the people that are running the world. Probably you guys heard this. Just reminded me of this filthy, disgusting scum. Just from the Max Egan video today. That I put up, South Oz Man, you're a good man. He's been posting on the Kraz Files chat on Telegram. And If you're on Telegram, get over to the Kres Files chat and get on South Osman's great page there and the Kres Files chat. We're all on there, and there's just so much information going up. It's really cool. And the Max Egan video went up today, and I've put that up on the website. You'll see it in the breaking news section just below the main slider. So it's a good hour or so, but really, really watch that. There's some great info in there. And you can't believe these maniacs in the World Economic Forum, what they're talking about. You just can't believe that this is going on, that these fucking idiots are flying in on private jets, you know, living in unbelievable opulence and, you know, eating lavish dinners. And they're sitting up there talking about how we should be eating bugs and how they're going to kill off half the population and, you know, and how good they are and how they're going to use technology to track and trace us and how we're all destroying the planet. And these people are living like emperors, you know. And it really is just absolutely unbelievable. And there's so much heat on this Davos meeting, you're just thinking, when are the people going to get the pitchforks out and just go after these fucking psychopathic or sociopathic maniacs? And there was a bit there where this Alberto Burla, the Jewish psychopath, the CEO of Pfizer, was talking to the Star Trek Klaus Schwab about all these ideas and stuff, and it's just amazing how open they are. And there was one little section there where the Pfizer CEO, the Jew, was talking about people wanting to bring him to justice in certain countries through the courts of law and everything, and they basically laughed because they're just above the law. They make up their own laws. They don't care. They're beyond anything, you know. And they can just kill hundreds of millions, even billions of people, and just laugh about it. It's just absolute mass genocide that we're seeing. You'll see the clip in there that in the Max Egan video where you've got like a little child maybe in South America or Philippines where they've taken the jab and they're vomiting blood and then dying in front of their mother on the floor and she's screaming. I mean, it's mass murder, mass genocide that we have never, ever seen this scale on this planet. And they're up there talking about controlling our lives and laughing at us. It's just unbelievable. And the thing is, human beings support them. They support them en masse. It's just unbelievable. Human beings are supporting the very people that are doing this. It's just absolutely insane to me. And I saved this little clip here, but have a listen to what this fucking psycho of the CEO of Pfizer is talking about. And they're all clapping him. It's just like, what drugs are these fucking people on? Here it is here, folks.
Week we met in January of 2019 in California and to set up the goals for the next 5 years. And one of them was by 2023, we will reduce the number of people in the world by 50%. I think today this dream is becoming a reality.
So it's really a purpose-driven company.
Now, we are going to tell the people that there's a virus, and then we're going to trick them into getting basically rat poison injected into their veins, and then billions of people are going to suffer and die horrible deaths. Twitching and vomiting blood and convulsions, dying like the rats that they are in the gutter of their putrid societies. Yay! Yay! Ooh, we clap. Yay! 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 It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's just unbelievable. And if you try to tell most people about this, they won't listen. They won't accept it, and they'll actually keep supporting these very people because they're so fucking brainwashed. Oh, God. Man. Complete, total, sociopathic fucking maniacs. Flying in, meeting in luxury, talking like this, and billions of people, they just do nothing. This from Activist Post. Moving on with the SciTech news. Surveillance cameras use software designed by big tech that considers everyone a potential threat. Minority Report stuff. Oh, this is from the Mass Privatel. So a recent Fox 5 New York article revealed how big tech and law enforcement are working together to identify people who could be a potential threat, like me, by using artificial intelligence, because I'm a threat, because I'm doing this right now and talking. You're a threat. The article describes how private businesses can use Actuate AI to transform every surveillance camera into a predictive AI monster that threatens everyone's freedoms. Is this fear porn? Fear porn, scaring. I mean, what do you reckon, folks? Are they telling you that they're doing this, but they're not really doing it, so you're just scared into control and into standing in line? Or is this technology really, really happening? Is this what they're really dreaming up? You know, by telling us a society as a whole that we're constantly surveilling you, we're constantly watching you, and that if you do the wrong thing, we're going to pick it up and you're going to be fined or sent to prison or whatever, then that's going to create a good society of slaves who want to do the right thing because they don't want to get into trouble. But what if behind the mask, there's no technology there? You know, I know a lot of people would say this to me, but you know, I look and I see, you know, like it's, I mean, there's so many areas with bad internet and there's so much. You know, like, it still seems so primitive, I think. Where the fuck is all this technology? Is it just one massive psyop to make you believe that you're being monitored so you fall into line? You know, is that there? And they're telling you, like, they're dreaming up technology that they don't have. I remember when I was a kid, there was this show on television called Beyond 2000. And it was on every weeknight or once a weeknight, you know, and there was these nerdy guys with glasses talking about all this stuff, but it just didn't even eventuate. They've been telling you these science fiction dystopian nightmarish dreams, their little wet dreams of nerds, for so many decades, and you're wondering, like, is this what's really happening, or is it I being told that it's happening, so I create that belief in my mind and I see it all around me and I become a paranoid citizen? Or is this really happening, folks? I'm putting both sides of the coin here, that's all. Are they making us paranoid by surveillance cameras and all this new technology, or are they actually implementing? Because I'm split. I kind of think that it's to make us paranoid so that we obey them. But then half of me thinks that they really are, because the technology is bloody hell, man. It's crazy. If you look at what they've got just in one mobile phone. Are we being turned into a paranoid species? You know, that thinks we're being tracked and monitored and traced and spied on. You know, and surveilled. every single step of our lives? Because that's going to create a very paranoid society. Yeah. And a paranoid society is a scared society. And a scared society is driven by fear. And fear is driven by mostly propaganda. But you know, I think it's still interesting to look at this surveillance and AI technology, because they, bloody hell, they got some pretty crazy tech. You know? And it's interesting. The technology. So this is saying, in a matter of seconds after the employee is visible in the office space, a surveillance camera in the room goes into action. A green flash pulsates across the monitor set up in another corner. And I really want your opinion on this, guys. If you hear these podcasts, let me know what you think. And I'll also say the Kraz opinion is open to any of my members who want to write articles, whether they're short, medium or long. I don't give a shit. If you want to submit an article, submit it to me and I'll put it up and then it can go out there. Whatever you want. If you want to write something, write it. If you want to add anything or you disagree with me here, let me know. I want to know. So this is saying a green flash pulsates across the monitor set up in another corner of the room after the video management system recognizes a potential threat in the room. As you can see, it's pulsing green light with about a second or two. That means an alert has been registered, says Actuate CEO and co-founder Sonny Tay. Our AI model has made a detection and sent an alert to video management systems. What they failed to mention is how Actuate-equipped surveillance cameras are constantly surveilling and IDing people and objects. So the article goes on to explain how a used car lot or a construction worksite using Actuate's software could be programmed to notify the police when a person walking by a fence can be flagged as being suspicious. It could be at a used car lot or construction site at night with cameras programmed to notify when a suspicious person walks near a fence. Now, I'll finish this. The Actuate technology is currently being utilized by 20,000 cameras across the country, including at schools, colleges, campuses, and construction sites and used car lots. Used car lots. Shouldn't they be watching the used car salesman? You know, for sweating, you know, and lying about their cars, you know what I mean? But I mentioned this years and years ago on the podcast that they were bringing in this kind of technology into, I'm pretty sure it was Maya. Now, I'm talking about Australia, folks, but in the malls you've got Maya and these department stores with all the makeup and perfumes and clothes and everything like that. You know, David Jones and these kinds of fancy old school department stores. I was reading years ago where they were trialing these AI kind of camera systems that could hone in and isolate people that the camera system thought was suspicious, basically that this person has been in the one spot for too long, or different types of things. I guess like being monitored at a casino, you know, and monitoring maybe the heartbeat or respiratory or sweating of the person or where they're looking or whatever, and then that those systems would alert the security, so the security would kind of be just sitting in his room having a tomato and cheese sandwich, doing really nothing and a smoke, and then the system would buzz him, and then he would go to that location just to check that person, maybe question them or just watch them, you know what I mean? But the camera system was alerting the security, who didn't have to be actually walking around watching people. And this was years and years ago. Years ago. So this system's public spaces link reveals how building managers can secretly flag tenants and visitors as suspicious, effectively turning apartment condo buildings into police department substations. Given the current media coverage of workplace violence and terrorist threats... Oh, there's so many terrorist threats in the office, isn't there, guys? Around the water cooler, you know? John and Bob and Mary are having a conversation around the water cooler on what they did on the weekend on Monday morning at 10:15 a.m. And they're terrorists. They're talking about, you know, making bombs and setting them off in airport lobbies. Workplace violence and terrorist threats. Okay, so many building managers are increasingly concerned about their tenants and patrons' safety in high-profile new developments. So the AI software integrates with existing security systems, enabling real-time responses to violence and providing patrons and tenants with peace of mind. Yes, and there's the catch. Landlords and private corporations can use this technology to alert them to a secret list of suspicious activities that would trigger a police or security response. Law enforcement could then use that secret list as probable cause to question, frisk, or detain someone simply because the system determined them to be suspicious. Oh my God, and it goes on and on. So why are the big technology companies amassing such a huge AI database of suspicious subjects and collecting millions, if not billions, of images of people and cars and storing them into the cloud? Microsoft's DICE Corporation helps actuate customers use multiple CCTV cameras to monitor suspicious people and cars for practically anything. That's called DICE, D-I-C Corporation software. Matrix monitoring. As DICE Corporation explains in the video above, law enforcement and private corporations can use matrix video monitoring to ID people using facial recognition and also monitor a person's phone calls. Central stations deploy this technology to enable existing dispatchers to monitor more cameras and to provide a wide range of services monitoring anomalies beyond simple people or vehicle detection. Anomalies. The video also mentions how DHS's fusion centers use matrix video. From what I'm looking at, they're going to have centers like in the Bourne Identity movies, you know, as I stated before earlier on, they got these centers, these bunkers with hundreds of people working in there with hundreds of monitors and computers and keyboards. You know what I mean? So straight out of one of these movies. And these people get paid for this? They're going to be under us, under the ground, you know? It's the brain. It's the brain of modern society. Fusion centers use matrix video monitoring to track suspicious people. So we're all suspicious. If you're listening to me now, you are suspicious. Welcome to the club. You know what I mean? If you go into a 7-Eleven and you're looking at the fridges for too long, you're suspicious. And you're especially suspicious if you decide on buying a bottle of water and you don't want a can of Coke. You could be suspicious for all sorts of a million and one reasons. Staring in a shop window too long, sitting in the park feeding the pigeons, walking around with a suitcase, having a backpack, wearing certain types of clothing, certain colours, you know, looking up at the sky, doing exercise, walking in the same location every day, on your way to work, driving past the same school or location every day on your way home, going to see a friend every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Is this what they're interested in? Anyway, it talks here about plans to create these massive data centers all around the world. And it's all about collecting data for suspicious behavior. And it's all to do with AI-run surveillance camera network systems designed by big technology companies for law enforcement too. They're talking about the engineered and manufactured state-sponsored terrorism gun violence in the US as well. So every CCT camera, they want to turn it into this tracking device for suspicious looking people. So everybody's going to be a suspect. It's crazy. Again from the post, this one was interesting as well that I saved. Pay with face, MasterCard rolls out global biometric payment system. The promise of convenience and security are overshadowed by the massive hoovering up of personal biometric data along with all financial transactions. In short, MasterCard has entered the age of surveillance capitalism, where it will sell its surplus data to the highest bidders. MasterCard press release. MasterCard unleashes new era of biometric payments to enhance the checkout experience. No more fumbling for your phone or hunting for your wallet when you have your hands full. See the PSYOP? The next generation of in-person payments will only need a quick smile or a wave of your hand. The trusted technology that uses your face or fingerprint to unlock your phone can now be used to help consumers speed through the checkout. With MasterCard's new biometric checkout program, all you will need is yourself. So we can see that we have been led into the gates of hell here over all these years. You know? And I can't believe how many people I see in the shops paying with their phone. And it just looks alien to me because I usually pay with cash or something. And these people buy stuff in front of me and they like swipe their phone and they put these things in their phone. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But we talked about this on the podcast for years. The pay and go, the snap and go, the swiping and going, the swipe your phone, how they've been utilizing all this technology of swiping your hand, moving your hand in that swipe direction to the right of you or the left of you, you know? And that this technology was eventually going to make its way under your wrist or skin or be part of you in some way. So that when you go into a shop in the morning before work to get your coffee, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is walk into the store and your coffee's ready. You don't have to pay. You don't have to say your name. You don't have to swipe anything. You don't have to get your phone. You don't have to get a plastic credit card out. Because the system just recognizes what you want and your order, and you've paid. So first they did it with your wallets, and then they did it with your phone. So now they're saying that your phone's clumsy, and your hands are going to be full with that phone. So you've bought your coffee, and now you've got to hold your phone up, and you've got to put your phone over a device and to QR code or whatever. And don't forget the whole PSYOP with the QR coding, that, mind you, worked perfectly, hook, line, and sinker on the Australian people. They love it. Actually, when the government took the QR coding system out, many of them felt naked and they were angry and they wanted the government to bring the QR coding system back. Believe me, I'm not kidding. They felt exposed without it. So, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do, Daddy Government. You want me to go out tonight to the bar and have something to eat and have a hamburger, and you want me to have a glass of wine, but how do I pay? I can't use cash. Oh, I'm having a panic attack. I'm so used to having my QR code. What do I do, Daddy Government? Help me. What do I do, Daddy? This is what they do. Even the New South Wales Premier, Dominic Perrottet, felt sorry for them. Because they just didn't know what to do without their QR coding system. So they were walking up to it. I think they kept it out of... I noticed this. They actually kept the system for a while because now it's completely gone. But they kept the actual QR scanners out front of the department stores and malls, and when you went in there and shops, they kept it going for a while and they kept the signs up in the window. And the government was telling them just to do that because it just makes people feel safer and it's not working, it's not going anywhere, but it makes them feel better about themselves and they feel more comfortable. So I watched them, I witnessed them. They were walking up with their phones and QR coding to go into Woolworths or into Kmart, and there was nothing there. It wasn't working. It didn't go anywhere. But in their minds, they've just felt better about it. They felt safer because Big Daddy Government is there cradling them in their little cribs to beddy buys. Because they're so fucking weak and so gutless and so pathetic and so cowardly and they have no human natural instincts left whatsoever that they are almost invisible. It is so sad, and I witnessed it. I saw them, and there's people like this everywhere. It's unbelievable, right? And so these people were trained into this system so well. And guess what MasterCard are doing now? See? It's unbelievable. All you need is yourself now. So these stupid, dumbed-down zombie bozos... They're going to mosey on like a cartoon figure in some demented cartoon into their coffee shops in the morning in the sunshine down the street, whistling away, and they're going to go into their store to get their little hot coffee and their little bagel. You know what I mean? And they're just going to be there. But that's going to give them so much security. Because they're not holding a phone, which they could misplace or lose. They don't have a plastic card to swipe, which is, you know, I mean, they could lose that as well. It's themselves. It's them. It's them. They're going into the store. And the store, the AI technology in that store just recognizes them and gives them their favorite coffee and their favorite bagel or their favorite egg and bacon roll, and they just gobble it up and they don't have to have anything to lose or fumble about or anything. It's just so streamlined and so simple living in the new smart cities where you own nothing and you don't have a soul anymore. They're going to love it. I'm telling you, they're going to love it. And it's all going to be about saving the climate. And every incremental step that you take as a bozo in this new artificial system towards the New World Order system and this biometric control state, it's going to be fantastic for you because every step you take, you're going to be saving the planet more. While Al Gore, did you see this? I put this great thing up today, this picture from Twitter of Al Gore, and they're showing an aerial shot of his mansion. And there's like dozens of cars parked there and this massive swimming pool, like an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and this massive fortress that he lives in. Al Gore, remember the global warming movie that he brought out and everyone rushed to see in the cinemas with the ice melting and the catastrophe? He's nothing more than a scam artist. He's nothing more than a con artist that conned people out of their money, manipulating their emotions. Because, you know, this, they care about the planet. And now he lives in absolute luxury. You know, and it's just incredible. It's incredible. And people keep putting up with it. Anyway, they're talking about this launch and how it represents a first-of-its-kind technology framework, and it's going to establish new ways to pay in stores of all sizes and all major retailers, mom-and-pop shops, everything, coffee shops, whatever you want. And how the program outlines a set of standards that banks, merchants, and technology providers will obey. Adhere to, helping to ensure the security and privacy of personal data when people pay biometrically. It's all about protecting you while they take your soul. You know, so you own a store and there's money in the cash register and you got two criminals and you got one criminal who comes up and starts sweet-talking you and telling you what a great day it is and, you know, like, I really love your shop and you're such a handsome guy and all this stuff and the sports scores and everything like that, while the other guy goes in behind the shop owner's back and robs them. It's like anesthetic, folks. You just can't feel the pain. This is what they're doing. You know, massive amounts of people are being injected with this anesthetic and they just can't feel or see what's going on here. They're being walked into tyranny here, willingly. It's unbelievable because they think it's all about their safety. The way we pay needs to keep pace with the way we live, work, and do business, offering choice to consumers with the highest levels of security. Now, transforming the checkout experience. Participants in MasterCard's biometric checkout program offer consumers the option to conveniently enroll into their biometric checkout services in store or at home. Through a merchant or identity provider app, once enrolled, there is no need to slow down the checkout queue searching through their pockets or bags. Consumers can simply check the bill and smile into a camera or wave their hand over a reader to pay. The new technology ensures a fast and secure checkout experience whilst also empowering consumers to choose how they want to pay. Isn't that wonderful? So they see you, they view you, the consumer, as so stupid and docile and dumbed down and idiotic and ridiculously fucking hopeless that you don't even have the common sense or ability to take a bill out of your wallet and pay someone. You know what I mean? So they're taking all that away and they're going to do it for you and you're going to love it. For the merchants, the benefits are also considerable. From faster transaction times and shorter lines to greater hygiene. See, it's all about hygiene and heightened security protecting you. The payment system can be integrated with loyalty programs. What did we talk about the other night on the podcast? Loyalty programs, social credit system scores, getting your casino chips, personalized recommendations to help consumers find products they might be interested in based on previous purchases. So come in, you stupid fucking brain dead zombie. Would you like this product? We're going to show you. Because you can't do anything anymore for yourself, so we're going to do everything for you. So basically, you're just going to become soulless zombies, being cooked like stupid frogs in boiling water. So MasterCard is working with partners including NEC, Payface, Aurus, Pay By Face. There's Payface and Pay By Face. Payface and Pay By Face. Pop ID. I love that one. Pop ID. And Fujitsu Limited. To ensure the launch and scale of these types of new checkout capabilities around the world, adhering to a new framework of minimum standards, specifications and guidelines that address security, biometric performance level and data protection in the context of in-store biometric payments. My goodness me. Incredible, isn't it? It's just, boy, man. I mean, I guess with us, you know, like me. I mean, I you know what? I don't even have a front door. It fell off. This house around me is crumbling down. I've just got to keep painting it. Everything's so old here, and everything that I use is so minimum. I mean, I'm wearing a flannelette and jeans. I'm on a really old, scrapy leather chair. You know what I mean? I hardly use my phone really for anything. Just a basic internet service is pretty good for me, so I can keep doing my podcast and keep the website up. But I look at myself and my day-to-day interactions. I mean, my little one, she's 6 and she doesn't watch any TV, so we read lots of books. I homeschool. We're busy in the day doing things. We're always eating our meals as a family unit. And I do a lot of cooking and stuff like that. I've got a hot water bottle right now on my side. I don't know what's wrong there. I've got like a kind of a pain on my side. It's been really bugging me. It's a bit sore. I got a hot water bottle there. You know what I mean? My cutlery and plates are so old, and the kettle and the kitchen's falling apart. I don't really own any like really super modern equipment. Like I know all these families around here that live around these areas, you know, like that they want to save the climate. They're all living in smart homes, with the Alexa and Google Home thing, and they tell it what to turn the lights on, what Spotify song they want, and that's been going on for years, and I just laughed at them years ago. I swear to God, folks, I mean, I'm looking around me right now and I can't see really one modern thing so much. My new microphone, that's pretty cool. I like this one. It's nice. I got that from JB Hi-Fi. That's pretty cool to do my podcast. I scribble everything down in a notepad I have. My desk is old. I've got pens here. You can hear my pens. There's my pens. I've got an old wallet. I try to withdraw money in the week to pay things in cash. I've got a really old wooden desk behind me, an Australian-made one with lots of papers and books. I've got my cupboard with my clothes. I don't know. I'm struggling to think of why I would need any of this stuff that I've read out tonight. I honestly am. I'm struggling. In fact, it's impossible to work out a situation where I would need this. If anyone asked me to do any of this in a shop or anything, I would just call them a wanker and laugh. And it's 2022 and I don't need any of it. In fact, you can take my mobile phone and throw it in the bin, to be honest. I mean, it's so old. It's all cracked. I mean, it's still a smartphone. Still a smartphone. It's still fucking tracking me, this fucking thing. But the computer, man, I've updated it, but it's a fairly old one. You know what I mean? And I read all this and it's like, oh my God, what on earth? Everything around me is crumbling and falling apart. You know? Just day-to-day costs of feeding the family, paying the bills, and your electricity, gas, putting, you know, petrol in the car, and just living and surviving, and it's freezing. It's freezing in Sydney, and I just went out the other night, just got some warmer clothes for myself and things. I mean, it's just the basics, really, you know? And the most important thing is getting a good meals into your day and making sure your child's fed and clothed and has a hot bath in the night, you know? You got hot water and food and things that you need. You know, I just can't believe what these maniacs are talking about. It's alien to me. I just don't understand why anyone would think that they need any of this. You know? It's absolutely crazy. I live honestly like it's the 1970s. I'm not kidding. Yeah? It's crazy, eh? It's really crazy. I'm stunned. I really am. The rest of the articles that I have in front of me tonight are vaccine injury, ambulance, WHO... infant deaths and COVID vaccine blood clot news. They're going back a few nights. I'll save them there. It was more kind of looking at this technology sort of side of things today, but this is an interesting subject, isn't it? Let me know what you think, guys. You know, do you think that this is all going to be a reality? Have they just injected billions of people with this very technology that's going to make all this interface easier to bring in because people are connecting with the system, with the technology that's in them and the graphene oxide? I mean, I look at all this and laugh because of the life that I live. The life that I live is so old and simple. I mean, and I'm not an old person. I'm still in my 40s. I don't understand all you need is some money in your pocket. If you want to go and buy something, if you go in to buy your coffee in the morning, you pay $5. Why do you need pay with face, MasterCard, global biometric payout systems? Why do you need fingerprints and face recognition to unlock phones and biometric checkout programs? Why do we have to have global launches of this and frameworks and... it's just insane. You walk into a shop, I'll have this, I'll have that, I want to buy this, I want to buy that. There's $10, there's $50. This is crazy. Talk about overkill. We don't need this. When are people going to wake up and see that we don't need this? This is not where we should be. You know? When are people going to see that this is all an illusion? That it's all fake? That it's all a fast-moving casino card trick to take your money, in this instance, to take your soul? Can't people see this? Can't they see through this ridiculous fancy matrix system and see that it's all a con? You're being conned in a casino out of your mortgage. When are people going to regress and go back to the basic things in life that really matter? You know, the important things that really, really matter. And isn't it amazing how all this technology and all these things that we don't need are super confusing, but the basic things in life that we really do need are just so dead simple. You know, love is free, man. Love your kids, love your family unit, enjoy your life, enjoy yourself. Do things you love, do things that are important, go back to your life. You know? Because we are being sucked out to sea here. You know? A digital dark sea of death and torment. And this is not where we want to be at all, in any way, shape, or form. These people are sick, and they're making money off this. They're just creating this whole drama that we don't need. It's insane. It is absolute madness, folks. All of this. This is why I'm reading out this tonight. Whether it's true or false, it's just crazy that they're conjuring up this in the first place. It just implies to me, as I always say very strongly, that the system itself is so fucking paranoid, you know, that we're gonna find out what really is important and who we really are. You know, it just wants to pull this wool over our eyes. This digital smokescreen over our eyes constantly to blind us from what really matters. So we don't see. And they just walk us blindly into this dystopian hellhole. I can't believe so many people are taking the bait here. What is the big deal with all this technology? Why are young people walking around everywhere I go holding these phones up in front of their faces like fucking these demonic Instagrammers? You've seen these people, these girls, they're like got underwear on and they got this phone up in their face staring in it all the time. It's like, what are you doing? It's just everywhere I go, these young teenagers and young people are just obsessed with these phones. Obsessed with these phones. I want to go up and hit him in the back of the head and say, hey, idiot, knucklehead, what are you doing? You're not living your life anymore. You're being dictated to and dominated by this plastic fucking device you're holding up in front of your stupid noggin. Why are you doing that? They can't go anywhere. They walk around. Have you seen those guys on the beach that walk up and down with those, you know, that looking for metal or coins with the headphones on, and they got those, I don't know what they're called, but I've had a brain freeze, but they walk, they sway and they move up and down the beach and they're looking for coins and stuff. These people walk around like that, but they hold these things up in front of their face, you know, like they walk around with these devices just, you know, like they're not even looking at where they're going or what they're doing. They just look like zombies walking around, holding this device up in front of their faces, so that they're living through the device on the other side of it. You know what I mean? It's like the device is capturing in real time their reality, and then it's displaying an alternate reality on the other side of it, and they're walking into it. And it's like they're not comfortable if it's not like that anymore. But that screen, that flashy screen, is not real. It's not your life. It's not who you are. It's not where you're supposed to be. It's fake. It's an illusion. It's a trick. It's a scam. You're never going to be happy if you keep looking through those phones at a false reality. It's not the real world. The world doesn't look like that. The world looks like what you see through your God-given eyes. Your eyes in your head. That's how we see the world. Those magnificent eyes in our head that just relay all the colors and movements and everything around us that's going on every second of the day. I mean, this magic machine in our heads, they are trying to confuse you and take that away, so they're thinking for you through those devices, and it's not real. It's false. It's fake. It's Wonderland, and they can't see it. They can't live without it. It's amazing. It's incredible, folks. This is just my breakdown opinions of people on their phones. I understand that you got to use your phone to work and everything, but I'm just talking about the way these people and young people live through these phones. So it's like, if they don't have their phones, it's like they can't enjoy their normal day-to-day lives, because it's just not as exciting to them as when they look at it through their phones. But they don't understand that they're being slowly and incrementally dumbed down. And the real world that they left behind is getting further and farther out of reach. And this is how they're snatching our souls, our consciousness. They're leading us into a transhumanism state, a transhumanist state, where if humanity gets to that point, they're not going to remember where they came from or who they really were. And it's like in The Matrix, folks. What if you had a dream that was so real, but you couldn't wake up from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world? Think about that. That was in The Matrix. And that's what's happening. They're going to get into a state where they are not going to know the difference between that artificial world and the real world where they're supposed to be right now. They're not going to know the difference, and they're going to drift further and further and further away. How are they ever going to make their way back to where they're meant to be, planted right here, right now in reality? I am a sovereign being in charge of my life. I am here right now. I am grounded. They're gone on a journey, a magical journey out to sea. Bye-bye. You know? It's crazy. Anyway, just some thoughts to end the podcast there. Just some thoughts. I may be crazy, but I'm just being honest with you guys. I'm just being honest. That's all. I'm just thinking things and I'm just pouring it out now with you guys. That's all. Okay? Let me know what you think. And Adam, you're crazy. You're nuts. Oh, I agree. I feel like that too. What do you reckon? Let us know in the podcast description. We'll chat again soon. Take care, guys. Great to have you on board. Thanks for listening tonight. And we will be on again soon. So just keep active on the website. Keep checking in. Get into the members area. Enjoy the website and the podcast. Just enjoy the fact that the website's still up there and active. It's just great to see. Every day I wake up and the website's up, I'm like, what an achievement. Yeah. And what an achievement to have some members in there and just that website looking like that and up and running. I'm very proud of that, and you guys should be proud of that as well, because that's your website and you help keep that up and running. You can be very proud of yourselves when you see that website up there in the world, because that's yours. It's not just mine, it's yours. You help me to continue that and to keep it up. I can't do it without you. You know what I mean? So give me your input. You know? Comment away to all the articles that go up, because your comments are displayed on the front page. They scroll around and the public can see your comments and click on them and read them. So go on there all the time and comment to all the articles that I post, whether you agree or you don't, and comment away and make your own little blog comments, because the public can read those and they love it. People out there all around the world can read those, your comments. You know? So important. Every article that I put up on that website, go in and put a comment, whether short, medium or large, it doesn't matter. And they are displayed on the front page. They scroll around. People see them. If you want to go further and you want to write some basic articles about things that are important to you, submit them to me through the email and I will post them up. Just like Scott's doing. You can read Scott's latest article up in the Crass Opinion. It's awesome. I love it. I love it. No matter what it is, no matter what you're thinking, what your beliefs are, I want to hear it and I want to put it up. We're all learning. And it's amazing to be here. And we've got a long way to go, I know that. But it's fascinating and it's unbelievable. And you know what? I'm happy to be alive. I'm glad to be here with you guys. I'm absolutely loving it. It's crazy times. But hey, we're here. And we're doing it. We're doing it. Together. And these kinds of communities are so important, as well as the personal communities that you have with your loved ones, family and friends. All of it matters. All of it. And this is just as important as anything. So glad to have you guys in here and on board with me as we move forward here into 2022. Chat soon.